And so we're dealing with the subject right now of training up a child. And the key verse, the most familiar verse, would be Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And the Bible is full of instructions on how to have a godly home, no matter where you're at, whether you're in the parent stage, the grandparent stage, just got married stage, you got teenagers, you got little kids, divorced, single, whatever it might be, the Bible has instructions for you. But this is the cornerstone verse for child training. And we use verses like rearing, discipline, training, and really it is all of that. And your children come into the world with a blank mind, a blank slate. And you have the privilege and the now you hope they don't stay blank in their teen years. Sometimes it does. But they come into this world with a blank slate, and you have the privilege and the responsibility to fill their minds with truth, to put into their lives discipline and character, and to put into their hearts a love for God. Right. And training has a lot of connotations to it, but one of them is to teach them. It is to how to live and how to perform a task and how to live life. So train up a child. That's what we're emphasizing, train up a child. It takes hard work. It takes diligence. It takes consistency. And it takes place in the home. And I mentioned that last week, and I want to just emphasize that again, that it is the responsibility of the home. Mama, daddy, in the home. And I've talked to you in the past about the three-legged stool of the home and child rearing. Hey, you have school, you have church, and you have home, that three-legged stool. And if you take any one of those away, then it's very, very difficult to raise up a child. So school, church, and home. And I'll just give you my personal opinion, since I'm the one up here, and you can do what you want to with it, all right, and nobody will be offended at it or anything. I am against public school. Right, I'm just against that. We never put our kids in a government-run school, and I wouldn't do that today. I would not have them teach my kids about social justice and critical race theory and gender reassignment and all the rest of it. We wouldn't do that 20 years ago. I can't imagine doing that now. And I don't know if we have kids here that are in public school. I don't know. But if you do, that's your choice. It is a poor choice, but that is your choice. But the school is so important. But then let me say as well that just because you put your kids in a Christian school doesn't mean it's a whole lot better. Now, I'm for Christian education. I am for that, all right? But there are some Christian schools that really are glorified public school. The thing now, and I don't know any schools that have done this, all right? So I'm not shooting at anybody. But now the thing is they've opened it up where schools are able to take grants. And when you take grants, then you open up the door even wider, a wider enrollment. And I'm not sure that when you take grants that it doesn't muzzle you a little bit on what you can say and what you can't say and who you can allow in and who you cannot allow. I don't know, but I sure would want to find out. And I'm not shooting at any ministry at all, but you got to be careful when it becomes a business and not a ministry of the church, and it becomes really a glorified public school. And here's the thing I would say to you. You can have good teachers. You can have good curriculum. You can have good rules, all of that. But when our children were in school age, what I wanted to know was, who is the kid that he's sitting down having lunch with every day? It's not the school, it is the students that they go to school with that concerns me. And that's the reason why we homeschooled. Of course, we knew that our children weren't geniuses anyway. If we could just get them to add and read a little bit, then we were okay. But so that was, you've seen our kids, and so you understand. I am just kidding. I'm kidding there. But you got to have the school. The school's important. And then you have the church. And I've said that having your children in church, having your family in church is extremely important. And it's not just that they need to hear me preach three times a week, but they need to be familiar with worship. They need to be in a place where conviction can settle in their hearts. They need to sing. They need to be familiar with an altar. They need to be familiar. And I'm going to say this to you tonight, that you ought to have a long heart-to-heart talk with mama and daddy, and you ought to make sure that you are absolutely committed to the church, because when you're not, you are teaching your children by that. I'm helping you tonight, all right? You need the school, you need the church, and then you need the home. And the home is where you instruct, it's where you encourage, it's where you mentor, it's where you model, it's where you correct, it's where you do all of those things. And you can send them to the best church, you can send them to the best school, but those two things can very rarely overcome the dysfunction that is in the home. So it begins in the home. So we talked last week very quickly, and I don't know how long I'm going to go, because I, if I get to a place and I go beyond it, then I've got to really keep going, all right? And so y'all pray for me that I know how to take this. But we talked about the task of training. What does it mean to train someone? There is telling and there is training, and they're different. You have to tell, but you also have to train. Train is taking somebody by the hand and showing them how to live and walking with them and helping them correct their mistakes and showing them, if you were, the tricks of the trade. It is mentorship. It is apprenticeship. It's not just barking out orders. It's telling how, and it is showing why. And I gave you the verse last week, and I know the word train is used in a different connotation, where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When a bride walks down the aisle and she's in her wedding or her wedding gown, and there's usually a train that follows after. That train is something that follows after. And the most fundamental idea of training is to have them follow you on the path of life. You are headed in the right direction, and you want them to follow you as a train follows a bridal gown. And so the first question is not, are your children headed in the right direction? But are you headed in the right direction? Is your life worth following? How can you lead them in a way if you're not going in that way yourself? How are you going to teach your children to pray if they never see you pray? How are you going to teach your children faithfulness to church if you're not faithful to church? How are you going to teach your son how to treat his wife if you don't treat your wife like she ought to? Amen. They might as well say amen, because I can go about 75 more things, all right? All right? The more you amen, the more I'll keep moving. So the task of training, and then the timing of training. Train up a child. A child. The word train carries with it the idea of directing or guiding your child in the direction that they should go. And here's the point, you better start early. If you wait till they're 5 or 6, or if you wait till they're in school, if you wait till they're a teenager, you have waited too long. You can take a rippling stream, and you can direct the path of that rippling stream, but if you wait until it's a raging river, you're not going to be able to control the flow. You can take a twig and you can tie it to a stake and you can direct it and you can make it grow into a particular direction. But if you wait until it's a massive oak tree, you're not going to bend it then. And you can direct a small child in paths of godliness. But if you wait till he's 9 or 10 years old, then all you're going to be able to do is just pray and hope for the best. Start early, start early. And then the trajectory of training. Train up a child in the way he should go. There is a universal way that every child ought to go. They ought to be saved. Ought to serve God. Ought to live a separated life. All the commands and principles of the Bible are the general way that he should go. So we could say that there is only one way. Spiritually and morally and character-wise, we all have the same goal for our children. I am sure of that. But there is a separate, there is a unique way that each child goes. They're not robots. There's no cookie cutter way of doing this. And so what we have to do is we have to recognize that children are different, and we guide them in the same way, spiritually and morally, but in unique ways as to who they are. There's so much I could say about that. I'll move on. But the trajectory of child training. And I've got a long list of lessons that you ought to teach your children from an earliest age. And I gave you just a couple of them. And I mentioned a couple last week, but one is honesty. Listen, the very worst thing that can happen to your child is that child grows up and becomes a liar.
Right.
Honesty. And I'm amazed that some parents would think that their child would never lie. And they will take the word of their child over an adult any day. Hey, let me help you right here. All right? Are you ready? Your child is a liar. Yeah, he was born speaking lies. Your child's a liar. Yes. Your little baby, if your little infant doesn't get his way, he will scream and he will pitch a fit. And you will think something is killing him or her. And then you pick him up and give him his pacifier and everything's fine. He's lying.
Right.
Your child, be offended or whatever, but your child, except my grandchildren, your child is a liar.
Right.
And it's your duty to get lying out of him.
Right.
So honesty. And then lesson number two was obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Watch this, for this is right. Good enough. Children must learn to obey because it is right to obey. They don't obey to keep from getting a spanking. They don't obey because they're going to get a candy bar. No, we obey because it is right to obey, and we always do what is right. We'll deal with corporal punishment, and I don't know if we'll do it tonight or if we'll do it in a couple of weeks. But when you discipline your children with corporal punishment, you need to make sure that they know that what they did was not right. They are not being punished because daddy is mad. They're not being punished because mama has finally reached her breaking point. No, they're being punished because they did what was wrong. So obedience. And then here's a third lesson that I didn't get to last week, and that is respect and submission. The greatest lesson you'll ever teach your children is respect for authority. Now, submission is not obedience. Obedience is an act. Submission is an attitude. Obedience is outward. Submission is inward. Submission is a matter of the will. And this is what you have to with little children. A child may obey, but because he has to. He'll let you know he don't really want to. And the only reason why he is because you're bigger than he is. I'm going to obey to avoid the punishment. That is not submission. I am a believer in break the will, but not the spirit. Breaking the spirit of a child turns the child into a broken person who is discouraged. They don't feel loved. They don't feel like that they are accepted by their parents. Breaking a will means a child is submissive. That child is protected. That child is secure. Submission and respect for authority. Yeah. Your children, I'm not saying they don't, but your children should have respect for their elders, for all elders. They should be polite. They should be respectful. They should be deferential. When I was a little boy, if I had ran through the foyer and ran between two adults, who? Are you kidding me? If I would have just went up to some adult and just interrupted and just spouted off, that would not have been a good evening at the house.
Right.
Yeah. But you ought to teach your children manners.
Right.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Good.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you. Please. I am appalled Some of the stories I hear of children that are defiant against adults in Master's Club and all over the place. And I'm helping you, but if your child openly defies a teacher or an adult or anybody and refuses to obey that person, that ought to alarm you. Here is the reason why. Here's the reason why. Somewhere along the line in the life of your child, they are going to have an abusive authority over them. Somewhere they are going to have a teacher that shows favoritism. Somewhere they will have a boss that is not fair, that doesn't treat them right. That's going to happen. But what happens when a parent defends their little children against teachers and always takes the word of the child, they're teaching that child that you don't have to submit to authority if you disagree with the authority. Well, there's going to be a lot of authorities that they disagree with. That's life. And what you teach them is two things. One is to submit to authority. And then secondly, how to graciously submit and remove yourself from an abuse of authority without defying the authority. Yeah. If I thought that my child was in a school classroom and that the teacher was unfair and mistreated my child, I would not leave my child in that situation. I would step in as the higher authority and I would correct it, or I would remove my child from that abusive situation. What I would not do is I wouldn't take him or her home and spend all day talking about how bad the authority is and impress upon my child that you don't have to obey authorities that you don't like. Submission and respect to authority. Let me give you another thing, trajectory. We can name 75 things. But just key things, and it just kinds to make you think, is what should we train our children, young children, and that's a strong work ethic. 4 years ago, I preached a message here on building character in children, and the way I structure that message is lessons that every child should learn in different rooms of the house. Lessons that they should learn in the bedroom. Like how to pick up your toys. How to make your bed. Lessons that they should learn in the kitchen, and lessons that they should learn in the toy box, and lessons they should learn at the table, all of that. And I ended up talking about how that work is the great teacher of men. The Bible places a high premium on working. A good work ethic will make or break a boy or a girl. When you guys get married, I pray to God, or when you girls get married, I pray to God you don't end up marrying a lazy person. Amen. Tonight after the reception, guys, forget what to do. After the reception, if you're interested in girls, and I hope you are, after the reception tonight, look and see which girls are in the kitchen helping to clean up. So all of the 50 and 60-year-old women don't have to do it. Because if you marry a girl that is allergic to dish soap, I feel sorry for you. I hope you like ramen noodles. A strong worth it. Give your children chores to do and insist they do it. Do it right now and do it with a good attitude. I think I told you about the father who had the son who was supposed to take out the trash. He kept forgetting to do it. And so one morning, the father got up and the trash was not taken down to the end of the road. So he took the trash can and he emptied it in his bed. And that boy never forgot after that. A few months later, he was aggravated that he had to do it, so he took the trash cans and drug them down the driveway and just clang, 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 clang. Just had a horrible attitude. And so the wise father made him go around the neighborhood and take all of the neighbor's trash cans down to the yard quietly with a good attitude for about 7 days. He never did do that again. A good work ethic. If your child has done a job to the best of their ability, don't come behind them and fix it. You accept it for what it is because it is their best. If your child does not give their best, then have them do it again. That was always a rule. We can do it right or we can do it twice. Your choice. It's up to you. Doesn't matter to me. You have to be happy with progress, not perfection. You're not trying to get the job done. You're trying to train a child. Now, I could spend forever tonight. I really could on the things that we need to teach and train our children. And there's not a list of 10 things or 30 things. There is an endless list and it keeps growing. There are really 1,000 lessons to teach. And all of them are necessary for them to have a productive and a happy life. And I'm just naming a few. Honesty and character and submission and obedience. And what you have to do is you have to have the long view in mind. Which direction is my children going? And am I heading them in the right direction? What's the trajectory of the life of my child? Now my next point, I've got two more points. And my next point are the tools of training a child. The tools. And the first tool is a rod. And I need about an hour and 45 minutes to deal with a rod. And I'm going to deal with it. I'm not going to deal with it tonight because I can't get it started. There's no way. But here's what I want to say to you tonight. Here's what I'm going to say. We're going to go have a fellowship. And there's two things. Number one, the rod is necessary. And we have parents in our churches, I don't know if here, we have parents in our churches that have bought into philosophy more than the Bible. The Bible has a way, and it's a rod. Here's the second thing, equally important. The rod is not the only tool. I'm going to give you three tools in 2 weeks. The rod, grace, and joy. And if in your correction of your children it's rod, 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 you're doing something wrong. Really is. There ought to be a lot of grace. There ought to be a lot of joy. Yeah. So much I could say. I'm going to stop right there. But aren't you glad for family tonight?